13 years old, I joined a baseball team for those who are ages 13 to 15. And it so happened that that year the team got a new coach who made all these great promises how he's going to form us into this championship team. And much to people's dismay, his ideas included running 2 miles before practice and then running after practice. Well, it's like it's a recreation league. And so having expectations for something easier, almost all the older boys quit. And that year we were the worst team in the league. And the same pattern repeated itself the next year as we had still no 15-year-old boys on our team. But in the third year, the team of boys that stuck with that coach and put his teachings into practice were easily the best team in the league. And that promise of being fashioned into champions was fulfilled. Our readings resemble that story. We hear, "Then they came to Capernaum, and on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught." This marks the fulfillment of the promise that we heard in the first reading from Deuteronomy 18, where Moses said, "A prophet like me will the Lord your God raise up for you from your kin." At the time of Jesus, the expectation of the prophet like Moses was widespread. In John's gospel a few weeks back, we heard how the scribes and Pharisees were asking John the Baptist, "Are you the prophet? Why are you baptizing if you're not the Christ or the Messiah or the prophet?" Furthermore, the passage from Deuteronomy 18 was so important to the early church that it's actually captured in chapter 3 of the Acts of the Apostles. What was the people's expectation for this long-awaited prophet? Well, Deuteronomy 18 was very clear what it should have been. "Whoever will not listen to my words which he speaks in my name, I will make him answer for it." That's pretty serious. You know, that those who hear God's words from this prophet like Moses, Jesus, will be answerable to God for doing what the prophet says. Now, tragically, for the most part, the people of the towns where Jesus did much of his public ministry did not listen. It's why later in the gospel, Jesus will say, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long ago have repented in sackcloth and ashes. And as for you, Capernaum, you will go down to the netherworld." Now, anybody who's visited the Holy Land will know and can tell you that all three of those towns are ruins today. Even though Capernaum is in an ideal location right on the Sea of Galilee, right on the shore, it's an abandoned ruin. I found it amusing somewhat that the people said to Moses, "Let us not again hear the voice of the Lord." Like, don't do that to us again. But then God did the unexpected. Not only did he send the prophet like Moses, he sent his only son, so that they did hear the voice of the Lord again. God exceeded their expectations of just how much he loved them and desired to be with them. And in doing so, he called the people again to respond. Some people responded, but most did not. How well-tuned are our ears and hearts? In our gospel, the people of Capernaum are confronted for the first time with this reality of Jesus. A new teaching with authority. He commands the unclean spirits, and they obey him. The unclean spirits listen, but who else will listen? Does anybody want to be a champion for the Lord? With Jesus as their coach, do we need to confront the reality of Jesus anew? Or maybe in earnest for the first time? Because in Deuteronomy, the people on Mount Sinai were confronted with a God of power and majesty and glory, and they were afraid. The people of Capernaum were confronted with the prophet like Moses, with an abundance of miracles, and they were complacent. We are confronted with the truth of the resurrection and with Peter's confession, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And if Bethsaida and Chorazin and Capernaum are ruins, what does it mean for us if we don't listen? The fact that the prophet like Moses ended up being God's own son should both excite and terrify us at the same time. With great privilege comes great responsibility. And just because we know the Word of God and we hear it at Mass, it doesn't mean that we'll benefit from it. You know, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father. Because that's what distinguishes the true disciple. But please understand this, that listening to Jesus isn't blind obedience. Yes, like that team, it's going to involve some spiritual exercise and some discipline. But listening to Jesus is about being drawn into friendship with God. While the Israelites encountered the God of creation on Mount Sinai, Jesus reveals to us, and we receive in every Mass, the God who is love. But it isn't a sweet, syrupy love. It's the love we see in the humility and poverty of the manger in Bethlehem. It's the love we see in the Eucharist at the Last Supper. It's the love we see on the cross at Calvary. This is something we should be excited about and yet terrified. This is our God. Or are we hoping for something easier? Shortly after the events of our first reading, which came just a handful of days after tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands of Israelites left slavery in Egypt and passed through the Red Sea on dry land, that incredible miracle, shortly after the Exodus, came the incident of the golden calf. The Israelites broke faith with God, made a beast out of gold, and began worshiping it, saying, "This is your God, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." That seems insane, but in what ways do we do something similar but less obvious, making something other than the Lord God and his will for our lives the center of our world? Dear people, look around you at the glories of creation and realize these are gifts from your God. Christians, read the Gospels. Meet Jesus in his fullness and realize this is your God. Meditate on the truth of the resurrection and realize this is your God. Jesus, the prophet like Moses, revealed so much more than Moses ever revealed. The revelation of God in Jesus was beyond radical, even more than the earthquake, the peals of thunder, the lightning on Mount Sinai. And when you come to receive the Eucharist at communion time, and those words are spoken, the body of Christ, it's a reminder, this is your God. He desires intimacy with you. The people of Galilee had their ideas about what the Messiah would be like and do. God has different expectations. More than a championship team, God wants to fashion us into a holy people. And with that end in mind, in words very similar to Deuteronomy 18, God reveals those expectations for us at Jesus' baptism and at the Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him.